and a heart to receive your word. Thus having their lives changed because of your word. And Father, we will give you the glory and honor and the praise for it. Thank you for your anointing and call upon me to minister your word. I can do nothing by myself, but I do know through Christ Jesus I can do everything he called me to do. So I rest in him and give him all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. In the Gospel of Matthew, can everybody hear me okay? Am I coming through pretty good? In the Gospel of Matthew, I want to read one verse for now anyway, which is verse 16. Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. It says, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." Hallelujah. We were in darkness. We were in darkness. We were consumed by darkness, but light came. Is there another amen out there somewhere? Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, I want you to turn. I'll give you my subject here just a moment. Turn to the book of Colossians, the very first chapter, the book of Colossians. Now, back in Matthew chapter 4, it said, "Those who sat in darkness saw a great light." Now, in Colossians, the first chapter, beginning at the 12th verse, it says here, "Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints." Let me reread that. "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness." Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Yeah. "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Aren't you glad you're forgiven? If you have received Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, your faith is in him, you are forgiven. Oh, what a great place to be. Hallelujah. 15 said, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." And I could read on, but I want to stop right there for now. But notice it says that he delivered us from darkness, and we are now children of light. And my subject today is, I'm just hooking on to Wednesday night, Love in Action. You can say Love in Action Part 2. Glory to God. Now, I'm not going back into Wednesday night's message. You can go to YouTube, Facebook, wherever, the church's website, and you can watch it. Praise the name of the Lord. But I want you to understand that God loves us. Jesus loves us. And this world is very, very dark. It's very, very dark, and it seems to be getting darker by the day. But we're not children of darkness. We're children of the light. And always remember what Jesus said when he was praying for us in John, the 17th chapter. He says, Father, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil or the evil one. How many of you know, when you trust him and walk with him, he'll keep you. He's more than able to keep you. Let me say that again. He is more than able to keep you. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Turn with me to John, the 10th chapter. The 10th chapter of John. And I hope you got your Bibles with you or your tablet. I'm not offended when you bring the Word of God to church with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And listen, now remember, this is love in action. Jesus Christ is love in action. And you know, it's easier to say I love you and do nothing. Love is an action word. And we see that in John chapter 16. For God, I'm sorry, John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. And then he did something. He loved and then he did something. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at somebody and tell them, say, love is an action word. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at verse 14 of John chapter 10. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I, listen to what he says, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd, both Jew and Gentile. Verse 17, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Now I want you to notice something here. This is very important that we know this. Jesus says, I lay down my life. And he went on to say, I will take it again. I'm going to lay it down, and then I'm going to take it again. I'm going to lay it down, and then I'm going to take it again. Look at verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I, what? Lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. command I have received from my Father. That, listen, this is what we're saying here. Jesus suffered everything he suffered, everything he went to through. He went through it by choice because he loved us and he wanted to please his Father. You know, if you look around, and I'm not being cruel or mean, I'm just talking about our church here. You know, I'm not talking about what others do in their church. But if you look around, you notice that there are no pictures or statues or anything like that of Jesus hanging on the cross. Because the pictures of Jesus hanging on the cross does not depict a true picture of what he looked like on the cross. Sin is nasty. Sin is mean. Sin is dirty. Sin is destructive. And I can go on and on and on. And I won't get into it today. But I want you to understand that Jesus' body hanging on the cross was not a pretty sight. He had been beaten. He had been whipped. His flesh had been torn open, had a crown of thorn pressed down on his head, his beard plucked, spat upon, nails in his hands and feet. Pierced in his side. Folks, that was not a pretty picture. But he was hanging there before the world because he loved us. And he was willing to endure whatever it took to bring us back to the Father, so that we would have a right to say yes again to God. You still listening to me? But understand, Jesus lay his life down. He said it himself. He says, I'm laying my life down, and then I'm going to pick it up again. And he would say things like, no one's going to take me, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, no one's going to take me out of here before time. There's an appointed time for me to go to the cross, and I'm not going before. And he didn't. Hallelujah. So he said, I lay my life down, and then I take it up again. Now, I want us to flip forward to John chapter 18. I want to share with you something very, very interesting. John 18th chapter. Let's look at verse 1. I'll begin at verse 1. Are you still with me? When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Lantern, torches, and weapons, plural. Verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" Notice how he asked the question. "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Now, I want you to pay special attention here. Remember, Jesus says, "I lay my life down. No man take it. I lay it down." They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now, look at verse 6. Now, when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. They drew back and fell to the ground. And then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way." And so I'm going to stop right there for now. But here's what I want you to understand. Here's what I want you to get. Jesus asked them, who are you seeking? Who are you looking for? And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Notice how Jesus responded. He said, "I am he." And when he said, "I am he," the power of God hit all those troops, and they went to the ground, weapons and all. Weapons and all. Don't miss something very powerful here. When Jesus said, "I am he," Jesus was telling them, "I am the great I am. I am the great I am." And when he said, "I am," the power of God fell. Hallelujah. Some folks say, "Well, I don't believe in all this being slain in the spirit." You need to go back and read this. The power of God hit them. They went down because they were speaking to the great I am, which means Jesus had the authority. The power was present for him to say, "No, I'm not doing this. I changed my mind. I'm not doing this." And they couldn't have done a thing with it. He could have called legions of angels down. But here's the good part. He didn't. Because had he done that, you and I would still be lost. Praise the name of the Lord. In Exodus, the third chapter, Moses, it was a little stubborn and fearful and so forth, and God was sending him back to Egypt, and Moses didn't want to go, so he was trying to find excuses, looking for excuses not to go. And so he asked God, he says, "Well, if they ask who sent me and what your name is, what am I going to tell them?" And God's response to Moses was, "I am that I am. I am that I am. Tell them that I am sent you." Hallelujah. Tell them that I am sent you. And then Jesus again, speaking to the folks, Matter of fact, turn over there real quick. We're already in John. Just flip back to John chapter 8. See, we see the love of God in action because Jesus didn't have to die for us, but he chose to do it. John chapter 8, verse 56. And I'm just beginning right there for the sake of time. Jesus says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, past tense, finish it. Amen. Jesus is saying, before Abraham was, I am. Glory to God. Folks, that's powerful. So don't you ever forget, Jesus laid down his life because he loved us, and he still loves us today. Amen. I want to say this to you. I used to take my watch off. Let me say this to you. Listen to me. You may feel like you're not worth 2 brown pennies. You may feel like you've ruined your life, made too many mistakes. But I just want you to remember this. Write it down if you have to. You were worth dying for. Anytime that the devil's trying to beat you up and tell you you're not worth 2 cents, you've made too many mistakes, you don't measure up, just write it somewhere so you can see it every day. Put it on your mirror. I was worth dying for. And underneath that, write, Jesus died for me. I was worth it. I was worth it. We were worth dying for. You were worth dying for. Doesn't matter where you are right now, you were worth dying for. And he died so that you don't have to stay where you are right now. Hallelujah. I have some other things here, but I'm don't want to go too long because we're going to have communion together. But I just want to read you something that blessed me so much. Guys upstairs, I want you to follow me if you can. Hebrews chapter 2. And I just want to read it to you. As I get ready to close this out, I want to read this to you. I believe it'll bless you like it blessed me. But now here's what I want to do. I want to read it from the New Living Translation. I didn't tell you that upstairs, but I want to read the New Living Translation. Hebrews chapter 2. If you have a New Living Bible, you can follow along with me, or else they'll probably have it on the screen. I'll just pick it up in verse 1 as we read. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. That happens. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose. Verse 5. And furthermore, listen good now, and furthermore, it is not angels who will control the future world we are talking about. For in one place, the scriptures say, what are mere mortals? That's us. What are mere mortals that you should think about them? Or a son of man that you should care for him? Yet a little while you made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them authority over all things. Now, when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not yet seen all things put under their authority. What we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels. He stepped down from glory and became a little lower than the angels, just like you and I are today. Glory to God. Glory to God. I said glory to God. But we're not going to remain a little lower than the angels. So it says, what we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels, and because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. Somebody shout amen. Amen. He tasted death. He tasted death for each and every one of us. For God, whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children, say that's me, chose to bring many children into glory, and it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. Are y'all getting this? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So now, Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. Did you grab that? He became a little lower than the angels for us. He suffered death for us, so that we can have the same Father he has. Listen to this. Listen to this. Verse 11, New Living Translation. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. For he said to God, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. Let me tell you something. I'm going to read on, but I want you to understand something. When we come together, when we gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we begin to praise and worship the Lord, guess what? We are worshiping God Almighty, and Jesus is right in our midst. He loves to be among his brothers and sisters, because we have the same Father. Thank you, Lord. Verse 13. He also said, I will put my trust in him. That is, I and the children God has given me. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became what? flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil. Oh, my, 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 my. I don't know if y'all getting this or not. Let me read verse 14 again. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human could he die. That's the only way we could be redeemed. Somebody had to come just like us. The angels couldn't do it. They didn't qualify. Somebody had to be just like us. Somebody had to be born of a woman. Born into the earth. Hallelujah. All right, let me try 14 again, see if I can get through it. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood, for only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. If you're born again, you ought to shout out, devil, I'm not your slave any longer. I've been set free. Jesus, the perfect man, died for me so that I could be free. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All righty. You're still here. Thank you, Lord. Only, this is verse 15, only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to fear of dying. Verse 16. We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. And by the way, as a child of God, you too, and we all are now children of Abraham. John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, it says Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him gave he power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 17, therefore it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able, say he is able.
He is able.
He is able to help us when we are being tested. He has been tempted in every way, just like we are. And he is more than able to keep us and to deliver us, because he has walked this very road that we are walking today. Glory to God. And my question to you, what road are you walking? What road are you walking? Are you on the road of death? Are you on the road that's going to take you to hell? Well, I'm here to tell you, Jesus will set you free. He knows what it's like to live here, and he will set you free. Glory to God. If there's anyone here right now in this sanctuary, you say, Pastor, I'm not born again. Jesus Christ is not my Lord and Savior. I have not surrendered my life to him. But I'm here to tell you, he died for you. He suffered so that you could be born again. Oh, I wouldn't want to have to stand before God one day and realize what I could have had if I would have believed in him, if I would have given him my life. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for a moment. Bow your heads for a moment.